Hello, welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Hi, everyone. I'm not alone this week. I got Green Dude Paul.
Hello. I mean, hello.
And we got Lynn.
Green Diva Lynn.
Everybody's got their little squeaky voice on today. That's so funny. You know, we're just melting down.
We're just warming up. I mean, come on, we just started.
Warming up? Are you kidding me? It's like 95 degrees out there.
And perfect. How warm is it in the studio?
It's not bad.
It's not too bad because we got the fan on, which will turn off so it stops making noise. That's okay. So it's nice to...
We'll just tell people it's our fan club.
Yeah, you know, last week I was all by my... he's so funny.
Thank you, Lynn.
Ta-da! It took me a minute. Yeah, last week I was all by myself, so it's nice to have Paul here and hear Lynn's voice. Because Lynn was busy last week, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, I'm still getting over my jet lag.
Yeah, that's quite a flight.
To Chicago.
Yeah.
From your one half state. Hour.
It took me longer to walk to my car than it took to fly there.
That's kind of funny.
So what do we got going today?
Well, first I want to say thank you to our wonderful sponsors, buygreen.com. Great stuff for us and the planet. Great rating system. Mm-hmm. Everything you could think of, really, for all kinds of categories. Go to buygreen.com. And please check it out. And you can get to them through our Green Diva Marketplace.
Yeah.
And I think you get a discount, so do it.
And that's at thegreendivas.com, I believe.
T-H-E, greendivas.com. Then we got Smarty Marty's Rent-A-Wreck. And don't let the name fool you, because Lynn and I have driven in their cars, mm-hmm. and they're just gently used.
You were styling.
You don't even know they're
used. I felt pretty cool.
Right? We felt pretty cool. And they're great folks. They have several locations here in northern New Jersey. And he also rents trucks. And, of course, there are Rent-A-Wrecks everywhere. So just go to thegreendivas.com. There's their banner on the sidebar. Click on that and make sure to tell them the Green Divas sent you.
There we go. So, we love our sponsors.
We do.
Please support them.
Support them. Support us. Everybody's happy. So why don't you tell folks what you were doing last week?
I was at the Further with Ford conference in Michigan.
Yeah.
Michigan's beautiful this time of year.
Yeah, it was very exciting. Yeah, it was. We were, a lot of people got together, car experts, car journalists, and then there was a whole faction of green folks there that I had never met any of these people, and I've been connected with them on the internet, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it is fun.
They had some sessions where we learned about Ford sustainability, some of their new trends. They talked about how they're really working on collaborating with other companies to reduce water usage.
I like that.
They had a couple of people, one guy from Charity Water, which I love that organization, and then there was another organization. They were more talking about the whole global water issue. There's a challenge coming up that we'll highlight on the website, not this week, probably in the next couple of weeks.
Cool.
So keep your eyes open for that.
And you got to see that monstrous, I think it's the largest green roof anywhere.
Yeah, I have to tell you, it was fun to see the cars, and we did test driving and all that, but the highlight for me was seeing the green roof. It's one of the largest living green roofs in the world, but it is the largest living roof in North America, and it's on their truck plant, and it's really pretty cool to see. You weren't there. Green Diva Dana and I got our own little private tour of the green roof.
You have
to look at it through a window, but... Yeah. And so that was pretty cool because they spent a lot of time explaining how it reduces and slows the runoff and it keeps the plant cooler
they're amazing.
In the summer, warmer in the
habitat,
winter.
Creates artificial habitat.
You know, the highlights
we could
for
do a whole
green
show
Diva.
On
we
green
could.
Roofs.
We could.
Yeah, oh, sorry. I was thinking we were doing the My Earth 360 report.
So, I want to mention some of the other things that are going on. So thank you for mentioning where you were. And I know you'll talk more about that in the next couple of weeks. As you said, you'll talk, you'll write about this initiative with the water thing. And I
think I spoke previously about attending the Green Festivals, of which Ford is a major sponsor. So we get to see a lot of their products, they're doing great stuff. Keep it up.
Yeah, they're walking the walk, I think.
Driving the walk.
Or driving the walk, yeah, as it were. Manufacturing the walk, the ride. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I just want to make sure people know that the Homegrown Radio, we're now at 11 a.m. on Fridays, live on Homegrown Radio. So if anybody wants
to. A.m. or p.m.?
A.m.
Okay, much better.
11 a.m. on Fridays. So just in case you were wondering where we were at 4 o'clock on Thursdays, we moved. What else? Oh, hey, let's talk about, just real quick, mention that we're going to be going to Hawaii.
Aloha.
Aloha.
I was going to say ooh la la, but that's not Hawaiian.
Well, there's that, too.
Lucky dog. Only the divas get to go there?
Yeah, sorry. Oh. Sorry, yeah. No green dudes. Yep, Lynn and I are...
It's a woman's world, isn't it?
You know, the is it the Hawaiian...
Says the old white guy.
Bureau of Visitors Bureau, I think, is helping helping us get there. And Kalani, the Kalani is a beautiful eco resort and yoga retreat kind of place. And we're going to be there celebrating and participating in this Puna, like, sustainable foodie festival.
I'm not talking to either of you anymore. Green Dude Paul is going silent.
So, what else? I just want to also mention what's coming up on the show, because we're going to have to sign off on this opening. We have so much cool stuff coming up. We talked to Mark Terry a little while ago, but we're finally getting a chance to air that conversation. And Mark is a filmmaker who's focused on Antarctica and all of the things that are going on there. The melting ice caps.
It's scary.
Got what your to-do list is from Green Diva Alley for July, which is a really, it's a nice list because it involves a lot of relaxing.
We like that.
It's not a lot going on in July. The Queen of Green talks to us about, and she's from Lindsay
David
Coulter.
David Suzuki Foundation.
David Suzuki Foundation. She's talking about flushing, which is really a funny thing, but you know,
I embarrass easy too.
What to flush and what not to flush.
Oh,
yeah,
that.
Right. That. And then we have now you can flush blush because we got the eco sexy segment with Brigitte Mars. Yeah.
Okay, dudes, perk up.
With herbs for sexual vitality.
Ooh la la.
We got that.
Ooh la la. And I want everybody to go to the website and check out our post about the global dance party. We interviewed Aaron Abelman, who's a wonderful creator, and he's written Pacha's Pajamas, which is a story, and now it's a video series for kids. And part of that, it's hard to explain in a minute or less, so I'm just going to say, you want to get involved. It's really fun. You're going to make a little video of yourself dancing, a simple dance, and kids and people all over the globe are doing this.
We'll have some little green divas in training.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
You don't want to see me dance, but I might be forced to.
Well, if you do it, I'll do it. How about that?
I'd pay to see that.
I think we should make Paul
we'll
do, it.
Have to do it.
I think we should make Paul do it. You can participate in that, Paul.
Okay, great. I'll do it in Hawaii.
All right, kids, stay tuned. Lots coming
great
up.
Great show.
Want to understand what climate change is really all about? Want to get the latest environmental news? Listen to the Green Diva's My Earth 360 report and hear it all. From WTF to encouraging news and ways that you can take action for the Earth. This segment is sponsored by TrueGoods.com because shopping should be fun, not frightening. True Goods helps you make simple choices for healthier, safer, cleaner living. Tell truth, shop good at TrueGoods.com. Yay, we haven't had a My Earth 360, a Green Diva's My Earth 360 in a couple weeks. So,
no, but I've still been working hard.
I know you have. You've been working very hard.
Behind the scenes.
We'll be the judge of that.
Oh.
Paul is still bitter about not getting invited to Hawaii.
He is. You're going to have to just let that go.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, him,
have you met me?
Him and my husband, who's still not okay.
We'll start a support group.
Yeah, there you go.
We hate Green Divas.
The green dudes left behind. No. Anyway, so tell us what's going on.
Well, I was talking a little bit about the green roof at Ford, so I think I'll just write a little bit more about green roofs in general.
I think that's a good idea.
I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I have a WTF.
Okay.
About the toy that most children, at least my son, like to play with, Lego.
Uh-oh.
They have a new kit, and it has the Shell logo on it. And maybe that's okay.
It's Shell been, oil?
Yeah.
Okay.
There were 16 million Lego sets that have been sold or given away at gas stations in 26 countries. And Greenpeace is saying that their deal is also helping Shell to flog, this is quote-unquote, flog more of its dirty oil, build trust with its customers, and even exploit kids' love of their toys to build lifelong loyalty it doesn't deserve. So they've got a whole campaign that was launched today to call on Lego to stand up for Arctic protection. And I don't know, is that a WTF? I thought it was.
Hmm. Yeah, why
especially
not?
Especially because Lego has a new Arctic kit, totally separate.
Really?
With polar bears and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a strange
Don't drill the polar bears. Yeah.
That's the last time I play with my Legos. That's
yeah, they have an Arctic base camp, and then they've got, you know, Shell oil drilling next door, I guess.
Oh, my God. Someone ought to actually build those next to each other.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So if you want to take
action,
sense
of humor.
You
yes.
can. Encouraging news? Was that one of those, don't, don't, don't? That one was really bad. That was really not a WTF. Silence.
No, that's all right. I'm waiting for some encouraging news, man.
Okay.
Yeah, we started with that one. Now we're hit us with a high note.
Okay. Well, there's the Observatory 2 spacecraft that was supposed to launch today.
Right.
NASA was launching that. I don't know if you heard about that.
Yes,
there was
I
a
did.
Glitch with the Fluffinator.
Wait a minute. Did you say Fluffinator?
I did.
Oh my God.
That's love Fluffernutters.
Isn't that a
No, it's like the water suppression system or something like that, but that didn't sound as fun.
Oh, God.
Anyway, they rescheduled it for tomorrow. The forecast, I've never seen a forecast like this, but it shows 100% chance of favorable weather.
Really? They're like guaranteeing it.
Wow.
I guess.
I'd like to hire that meteorologist for my next event.
Now, didn't they try to launch this thing in 2009 and it crashed?
Yeah, it did. It crashed. So hopefully they'll get this one launched. And
explain what it is.
It's their first spacecraft, well, maybe
satellite.
Second one, but
satellite.
Once it goes out, it'll be the first one to measure carbon dioxide levels in the Earth's atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that is pretty cool.
So it's got to be able to count to like 400 million, huh?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, right now it's about 400 parts per million, and they're saying, you know, that's the highest level in at least the past 800,000 years.
Oh, dear.
If you happen to believe the Earth is only 6,000 years old, then it's the highest level since then, I guess.
I'm sorry.
I still believe the Earth is flat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Paul.
But I'm having fun today. So
that's good.
This will study carbon dioxide and help us understand, hopefully help us understand, how fast it will build up in the future.
Or
so
decline,
that they can make better predictions and hopefully the news won't be any worse.
Right. Well, good for them for finally, 5 years later, getting another one built.
Right.
Wow. I wonder how much this thing cost. I did hear a story about it this morning. But
something in, you know, hundreds of millions, probably.
Yeah.
But if it's going to help us, that's great. Better than, we don't want to get into
whole. Well, the data is very important. I mean,
yeah,
for
no, it
who
is.
Don't believe scientists.
You need to understand.
You know,
maybe they'll believe technology.
Exactly. So what else is going on?
I don't know.
Okay. She's like,
no, I'm just being, I think that's pretty much it for today, because I know you said we only had about 6 minutes.
That's perfect. Well, those are two really interesting things. I did not know about the Lego thing at all.
Right, and I'll have a call to action on that, but I'll include another one in case you don't really care about Lego or the Arctic.
Just in case you don't care about polar bears.
Made out of Lego, out of petroleum-based toy products.
Well, you know, it could be traumatizing. There are kids who are really, really into Legos, right?
I have a nephew. Absolutely.
I thought you were going to tell me, like, they were made of, like, some kind of hideous lead plastic.
No, but, you know, they think that Shell's just trying to distract from the fact that they're going to be thrilling in the Arctic. I don't know if I made that connection. But
thrilling or drilling?
Drilling. Yeah. And dancing.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
It's just a shell game.
Yeah.
We're really hitting them home today.
Well, you know, we have a lot more great stuff coming up. So thank you, Lynn, for a great report.
Thank you.
And always fun. Just stay tuned. There's more coming up.
Get all the details from this Green Divas My Earth 360 report and lots more on thegreendivas.com, that's T-H-E, greendivas.com, and myearth360.com. And remember to tell truth and shop good at truegoods.com. Wishing you had a green thumb or want to learn more about sustainable gardening outdoors and in? Expert Green Divas and Dude Gardeners share tips for everything from composting to growing herbs in your kitchen. Listen to the Green Divas Green Thumb for low-stress gardening tips.
Well, it's that time of the month again. And no, I'm not talking about that, people. I'm talking about gardening. Yay! Hi, Allie's on with us. Allie Hoffman, how are you?
Hi, Meg. Great. A little bit warm here, but otherwise fine.
Yeah, a little warm here, too. So Allie's been, throughout this season, doing in the beginning of the month, like what we need to do for, so this one, now we're talking about July. So tell us what we need to be thinking about in our gardens this July.
Well, in July, I'm going to first recommend that you take it easy.
I like it.
Because you don't want to get overheated. And so you want to be careful that you wear your sunscreen and you don't go out and work in the middle of the day.
Right.
And so that's the most important thing. And the other thing is you need to keep yourself watered while you are watering your plants. And water is a big thing that you're going to be doing in July, which
okay.
is kind of refreshing. You want to make sure your vegetable gardens get 1 inch of water every week.
Okay.
Which you can measure by putting a tin can out, and after your sprinklers hit 1 inch in the can, then you'll know you've watered an inch.
Well, that's a good idea. I've never thought of that.
But one inch a week. So you don't want to go out and sprinkle a little bit every morning. You want to give it a nice, solid watering once a week. That will work also for your annuals. And if it rains, you don't need to rain to water.
Right.
You want to keep your trees and shrubs watered through the summer, especially those that were planted in the recent 1 or 2 years.
Right, right.
Your containers, though, you need to water every day.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing you're going to be doing in July is weeding, because you want to keep all of your weed seeds down. This is when they're all going to seed.
Okay.
But the most fun thing you get to do is seriously harvest things out of your garden.
Yes.
So this month we're going to be harvesting, and the more you harvest, the more you're going to get in most cases. So you want to pick your cucumbers, pick your early tomatoes, pick your sweet corn. Of course, that won't get you any more corn, but at least you'll have that corn. And your summer squashes. I like to pick mine when they're just babies.
That's right.
Part of the fun of having a garden like that. And, of course, there's about 20 other things I could tell you. If you planted them, you can harvest them.
Right, right.
So
well,
those are the most important things to do this month.
Oh, I love it. And I think I mentioned before, I found a book years ago called The Lazy Gardener, and I loved it's a funny book, but it really does give you ways to, you know, basically be lazy. And July sort of is the lazy month, you know, it's – just about keeping everybody watered and the weeds down, right?
You don't want to be planting trees and shrubs.
No.
And even perennials, it's not really the month for that. It's the month for harvesting and keeping things groomed that are already there.
Like deadheading.
And, you know, that's right. That's right. And staking things that are growing sky high. Sitting in the hammock with an iced tea.
I love it. And I found that for some reason years ago I had learned that in general it's better to water in the morning if you're going to water, or water later in the afternoon, but not midday necessarily.
That's right. They say that the water can actually act like a magnifying glass
and
make
burn.
Holes that leave.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's true or not, but it does. You lose a lot in transpiration, so you really don't want to water in the middle of the day. And you don't want to water too late at night because you don't want the plants to be wet going into the evening, or you can invite mildew to come to your house.
I would
stay away from that. But early in the morning is great.
Right.
And hand watering is really the best way to do it, because you don't want to be watering everything at the same rate indiscriminately, because you'll rot some things.
Yeah, I got my purple watering can I have for all the stuff on the deck. And I have to tell you, I didn't realize how many things I could grow on my deck. I have eggplants that are like beautiful eggplant plants. I've got lots of lettuce, all kinds of things. I also have peppers. I have all kinds of peppers.
Oh, how wonderful.
And tomatoes.
Sounds like a nice grilling opportunity with all those yummy vegetables.
Well, you know, between the salsa, I've got all kinds of herbs and lettuces and basil, too. So I forget what I was going to say. I'm just amazed at how everything's growing. I was going to say I have a hose system that my husband made for the deck. But I have this other garden with a bunch of flowers down below. It's hard to describe. So I just fill up my little pink watering can. It's very Green Diva. And I walk,
very Green Diva, yeah.
Walk down and do my flowers with my pink watering can.
I hope you're wearing a hat when you're doing that.
Yeah, I usually have a hat on. Yeah, you're right.
That's good.
I know, someone's got to capture that one.
We're going to have to get the Green Diva logo hat, gardening hats going.
Oh, that's such a good idea. You're so smart.
Thanks.
Well, thank you for, giving us permission to be relaxed and enjoy our gardens a little bit more this July. And we'll talk to you again, I'm sure, in early August, right?
That's right. Enjoy.
Thanks so much, Allie.
Okay.
Inspired to grow more organic stuff? We are. To learn more about this Green Diva's Green Thumb episode and all kinds of other great green information, visit thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com. Shopping should be fun, not frightening. That's why True Goods offers a consciously curated selection of non-toxic goods. Find a variety of healthy and natural products for house and home, the kids, and even those furry family members. Also check out the True Goods blog, The Goods, for engaging articles and useful resources. True Goods makes choosing a healthier, safer, cleaner lifestyle easy. Tell truth, shop good at truegoods.com. Looking for low-stress ways to create a healthier, non-toxic environment in your home? The Green Divas make it fun and easy with useful information for making a beautiful and eco-friendly Green Diva home. Well, aren't we happy today finally to get a chance to talk to Lindsay Coulter, who was David Suzuki's Queen of Green. Hi, Lindsay. How are you?
I'm really good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks for taking the time. We're pretty excited today. This one cracked me up when there was a list of suggested topics, and you can talk about so many fabulous things. You do a lot of the blogging and the green living stuff for David Suzuki Foundation's site, right?
That's correct. Yeah, a lot of simple decisions and tips that people can start doing right in their home.
So this one is a Green Divas at Home segment, and we thought we would talk about something that you've written about, which kind of cracked us up, but it's at the same time extremely important, and that is don't flush this. So tell us, and we're obviously talking about putting things down the potty, so tell us what we shouldn't put. We all kind of know what goes...
You're so proper. She's so proper.
And I'm not. I'm not at all, actually.
On air, she is.
Yeah, I know. I do edit myself well. So tell us what we should and shouldn't flush.
Well, it sounds quite ridiculous, really, because you think we would know exactly how to dispose of most of the waste in our home. We're not even talking about recycling, how to recycle certain things, but this is really simple steps. And we can make a water treatment plant worker, a lot happier if we actually took some good care of what we're sending down the drain.
Yeah.
And if you check any of your city's websites and programs, they probably have a don't flush campaign or a list of unflushables. And, a really simple handful of list here is things like, believe it or not, tampons.
Really?
Condoms, pretty commonsensical there.
Yeah.
Hair.
Oh, dear.
So you shouldn't be cleaning off your hairbrush into the toilet, but instead that goes in the garbage.
Yeah.
Floss or dental tape.
Right.
Is another one. And anything I call as disposable wipey products. So those are already, hard on the environment because they are disposable and single use as it is.
Yep.
But flushing things like baby wipes or any mopping pads or cleaning cloths will not only block your sewer, probably right at the source in your own home, which would stink, but also long-term harm the environment and just makes a lot of work at the treatment end of things that goes into our drinking water.
So a lot of the things you mentioned probably aren't very biodegradable. They don't easily degrade during a water treatment. Is that part of the problem?
A lot of times, they don't biodegrade and they get stuck along the line. So if you live on any coast, you've taken up surfing or any beachcombing of any sorts, and depending on how your water treatment system works, you've maybe seen tampon applicators and waste all along the shore, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Other things is some city websites, like I say, they'll have images of the filth and the hair and if you've ever had a blocked drain in your home, you know what that mostly is just hair that gets stuck and
it's very unpleasant.
Down,
my husband, we have a bunch of girls in this house, and no matter what we do, hair ends up in the drains eventually, and he just loathes cleaning out the
old pee trap.
So something as simple as setting up a drain trap to rescue things before they end up going down the water. Down with the water is another one, and a lot of things go actually into the garbage or therefore landfill, which is why you should really look at some of your practices at home, like how to have a green or eco-friendly period, for example, and how to there's many safer non-toxic products on the market, like reusable menstrual cups, and they're silicone and food grade and really simple and easy to use and save you a lot of money.
That's true. That's true. Now, or you could just go into menopause like me, and then
that's another.
But that takes so long.
Something to look forward to.
Something
exactly.
To look forward to. I'm trying to make the best of it. I'm at least more eco friendly.
Those families, especially if you're using already cloth diapers and looking at reducing your imprint, if you have small children, again, the disposable wipes really are a little bit too much, and they don't operate quite like toilet paper in that they don't disintegrate. And the next one that probably most people have heard the most about would be medications.
Right.
So those need to be taken back to your pharmacy where they dispose of things safely. That's whether they're expired or not, but they will take them back from you. They often recycle the containers, and that goes for pet medications as well. Ask your vet, or a lot of those things are people meds anyways, and they'll take them back to any pharmacy.
Wow, what an excellent – I'm looking forward to – I know there'll be an associated post that you'll put up for us on the Green Divas, so I'm really looking forward to seeing that and what a thoughtful, informative we don't think about this stuff, but you really need to.
Yeah, simple solutions.
Simple
great.
Solutions. Thank you,
great
Queen.
Great way to be a good steward, and your city and the waters will thank you.
Thank you, Lindsay. We'll talk
You're
again
welcome.
Soon.
Find out more about this Green Divas at Home segment and lots of other great low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green at thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com. Being green can be so sexy. Well, at least you can be sexy and keep it green. Check out the Green Divas Eco Sexy Podcast for ways to keep it green in the bedroom or wherever you like to have sex. Well, aren't we excited to, well, almost literally, to talk to Brigitte Mars again. Hi, Brigitte.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on your show.
Brigitte, by the way, is an herbalist. She's an author. She's a university professor, but she's also specifically the author of The Sexual Herbal. And this is sort of an ongoing series. We're talking with her about healthy, natural sex fun.
Absolutely. Well, and last time we did a show, we talked about foods for sexuality.
Yes.
But, you know, there's also a wonderful tradition around the world of using botanicals and plants. And in days gone by, people referred to them as love potions.
Love potions.
And but, you know, we can tap into this ancient wisdom. So it's funny. A lot of the plants that were once considered love potions are actually now being researched and found to be bona fide plants that can help enhance libido.
Right, so they're not just, you know, wives' tales or whatever.
Well, I think the truth is that the wives' tales were indeed wise.
Yeah, yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, they do tend to now more and more turn out to be proven, which I always like.
And, of course, you know, herbal medicine is something that has been time-tested, used by millions of people for thousands of years. And when we look at the plethora of drugs that are just introduced and put on TV ads, and a lot of times you say, well, how long have people been using this? And
yeah, right.
When people try a drug, you know, I remember when Viagra was first introduced, I thought, I wonder how long before, you know, people start having problems taking this drug. I mean, in some respects, our libido diminishing might be a way of trying to conserve our health, because it may be that, you know, that's just too much excitement for someone.
Well, isn't there a Tao, T-A-O, tradition in Chinese medicine about reducing, for a male anyway, for reducing emissions, if you will, as they get older?
Absolutely, because it, you know, requires a lot of energy to make all of those little swimming seeds, and rather than treating it like a waste product,
right.
It's actually, you know, contains a lot of nutrition, and, you know, the body has to make that. So it's not just a waste product to get rid of. So, you know, we're not going to attempt to teach the art of tantric love here on the radio today,
but
that is something that couples may want to explore, the art of bringing the energy up. And it is a technique that can be learned.
Oh, I think that is a whole nother segment, and we will definitely get there at some point.
Okay. So, but I remember as a teenager, I went to an all-girls school, and I found a book in the library. And I found two books in the library, The Kama Sutra and The Perfume Garden.
Ooh.
And I don't remember that much about those books, but I remember that there were all these recipes and ideas of what one could eat. And I know my mom is not going to be listening to this show, so I want to say that my mom once said to me, your father and I only make love when we go on vacation. And I thought, oh, but you only go on vacation like once a year.
Aww.
And I had read in The Perfume Garden that using lots of cinnamon would be good for libido. So I was home from vacation, and I said, let me make all the food this week. And I made everything with cinnamon rice pudding and
cinnamon, that's so cute.
You know, French toast and rice pudding with cinnamon. And I just really went all out. And I remember at the end of the week, my mom winked at me and said, it's working. And so that really increased my belief that, like, wow, I need to keep learning about these herbs, because here I am at the, you know, young age of 15, and I'm actually helping my parents' joy and bliss.
That's so great. I love that story.
Thank you. But in general, a lot of the culinary spices can spice up your love life. And so not only things like cinnamon, but ginger and cardamom, a lot of these are herbs that we might enjoy even in things like chai tea.
Right, right.
However, you know, chai tea also has caffeine and sugar and milk in it, so you can make it without all those things as well.
Yes.
But just simply spicing up your food is a way to turn on your senses. Cayenne pepper, curry, chili powder. And in general, all of these spices are warming circulation.
Right.
So we really want to have optimal, good circulation to the genitals and the entire body in order to have healthy libido. But as you mentioned, you know, in the Taoist technique, there are also herbs that are used in Asian medicine that can be helpful. And again, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You can go to any natural food store and ask for products. What do you have for women's libido? What do you have for men's libido?
Right.
And you'll often find common herbs. So one of them is known as Epimedium, and it also has a little folk name that's kind of cute called horny goat weed.
Well, of course.
And it was found that after observation that goats, they eat this herb and they become more sexually active. And we know that horny goat weed or Epimedium is a circulatory stimulant. It helps to stimulate sperm production and motility and testosterone production.
Huh.
It also strengthens the adrenal glands, and it's a traditional remedy for erectile dysfunction.
Well, there you go.
So
natural
again,
Viagra.
There have been a lot of herbs, and again, you know, do you want to take a drug that's been out on the market for, you know, maybe a couple decades now,
right.
But or do you want to use something that is encouraging farming, you know, supporting farmers, keeping the planet green? I'm always going to go for the natural thing first.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, that is one herb to think about. And then another one is maca.
Yes.
And maca, Lepidium peruvianum, is actually a member of the same family that turnips and rutabagas are in.
Really?
And it actually looks a lot like a rutabaga. It's a root, and it's native to South America. And the name maca is a Quechua term. And maca is an aphrodisiac and a rejuvenative and an adaptogen. And it was observed by the Spanish conquistadors that their horses were not really reproducing when they got to the high Andes mountains. And so the Quechua Indians said, well, bring them up here and we'll show them a plant that they can eat that will help to increase their fertility and, of course, their libido.
Right.
And that herb was maca. And so we know that maca is good for things like vaginal dryness, erectile dysfunction, but it's also good for adrenal exhaustion, chronic fatigue, infertility, low sperm count, memory loss. It helps menopausal symptoms like hot flashes and night sweats.
I take maca, an organic maca powder. I put it in my smoothie every morning.
And because it is a close relative of turnip, I think that taking it like a food in a smoothie the way that you're doing, Megan, is really ideal.
Yeah.
Because you'd have to take a lot of capsules, and it's so safe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's another good one to know about.
Wow. And you're going to do a post for us because we have to wrap this up now. And it sounds like there's so many wonderful things. And I'm really looking forward to learning more.
Okay. Well, I'm going to send you something. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Brigitte. Until next time.
Many blessings.
Turned on yet? Well, go to thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com. To learn more about this Green Diva's eco-sexy podcast and find other low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green.
The Green Divas get to talk to so many inspiring people who each in their own way is helping us find a deeper shade of green. Here's just one of them. Enjoy.
Well, we finally got a chance to get on the horn here with Mark Terry, who is a climate change documentary filmmaker
And two of the films that we'll be discussing today are The Antarctica. Did I get that right?
Yep. The Antarctica Challenge.
Can you read my own handwriting? The Antarctica Challenge and Polar Explorer, both of which obviously have to do with Antarctica and what is happening to the glaciers there. So, hi, Mark. How are you?
Hi. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. And we tried to talk last week, and I think you had a cold, so I'm glad you're feeling better.
And yes, the voice is much better for today.
Yeah. So tell us a bit. I didn't get a chance to watch the whole film, but I did see the trailer for the Antarctica Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And it does look like it covers a lot of really important ground. This is not stuff we talk about every day, but it is obviously one of the impacted areas from this extreme climate change.
Well, exactly. There's so many different things that have taken place in Antarctica. A lot of focus, of course, is on the melting glaciers and the discharge of land ice into the saltwater southern seas. But other things have been happening there, too, as well, all related to climate change. For example, grass is now growing in what used to be called the world's largest desert.
Wow.
And, and this is fascinating because the botanist that I traveled with on our expedition could not identify the greenery that was being found on the new land there.
Well, that is interesting.
Mm-hmm. All they're thinking of is going back thousands of years, and they're estimating 12 to 14,000 years ago, prehistoric spores and seeds were buried deep within the soil. And because they've been covered with snow and ice all that time, they've never had an opportunity to establish themselves. Well, now that the warming temperatures has melted all that snow and ice, These prehistoric seeds and spores are now coming to life.
Wow.
And there's a whole new ecosystem emerging in Antarctica now.
That is actually pretty remarkable when you think about 14,000 years possibly that these things have been dormant in under ice and how quickly that is changing, I guess, right now. It seems like we're in accelerated mode, right?
Exactly. Everything is happening very quickly. Antarctica is warming five times faster than any other place on Earth, while the Arctic is warming twice as fast. And because of that accelerated heat, strange things are happening that shouldn't happen.
Right.
Big discharges of ice is a great threat to rising sea levels around the world. Whereas before, the threat was almost academic. Long-term projections had the dripping of ice and the small liquid contributions, say maybe in 100, 200 years,
right,
we might see a rise in sea levels. But what's happening now is when large chunks of glaciers, which is land ice, and that's fresh water, is now breaking off pieces as big as five times the size of Manhattan.
Right, yeah.
They're sliding off, and it's just like dropping an ice cube in your drink, right?
Yeah.
The volume is going to increase instantly.
It's messy.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I mean, water gets everywhere.
Yep. It always finds its level.
Well, it's got that displacement, right?
That's right. Yeah, and that's what's been happening quite recently in Antarctica. I've been following a couple of glaciers there called Thwaites Glacier and Pine Island Glacier. Mm-hmm. And what's been happening with them is there's a big crack, and we've been following that crack because it's 19 miles long, and we were afraid that if it ever got all the way to the other side, that piece of ice, once it broke off, would slide into the seas and represent the largest piece of free-floating ice in polar history.
Wow.
And, in fact, that's what happened earlier this year. Huh. That piece of ice is approximately the size, I think it's six times the size of Manhattan. And that just broke the previous record that my film, The Polar Explorer, found in the Northwest Passage in the Arctic. And that was a piece of ice that broke off of the a glacier in Greenland called the Petermann Glacier. And that piece of ice was so large, it was referred to as an ice island rather than an iceberg.
Wow.
And at that time, it was five times the size of Manhattan.
Well, now these are like astonishing. All I do is I'm just sitting here going, wow, man.
Yeah.
But they are pretty astonishing. And can you talk a little bit about what that really means in terms of, like, what does a foot rise in sea level? I don't think people understand how much of an impact that could have if the sea level rises even, you know, a few inches.
Yeah, well, that's right. And it's the impact, it really affects things more on a meteorological level because they cause storm surges.
Oh.
And when you have that extra volume of water, I'm not exactly sure the science behind it, but it actually causes storm surges and all kinds of different shifts in currents and the movement of water and in the precipitation cycle. It
wow.
also desalinizes the water because this is fresh water, which is salt water, right?
Interesting.
Yeah, so when you dilute the salt content, that affects all the life, flora and fauna in the oceans.
Sure,
the
marine life would be affected by that. And, well, so when you say storm surge, I live in New Jersey, yep. and, you know, we hear that and think Sandy. I mean,
yeah. That's right.
And those people in lower Manhattan and in Long Island who experienced the extreme storm surge in Sandy. Mm-hmm. And I guess this is what we can look forward to as the glaciers melt.
Yeah, and you see a lot more of it at the poles. But, of course, you know, we don't have reporters at the poles reporting the weather.
Right.
So we don't really know what's going on. But the satellite monitoring systems throughout the world that look at these things, they report increases in huge storm surges, especially in the Arctic, where one year we went from 3 in the winter to 28 the very next winter.
And I think what I saw, some description about how the change in sea level over just the last, I don't remember how many years, is what caused the difference in Sandy and why there was a 25-mile, I don't know if it's inland, but how much more impact there was from the storm surge was astonishing.
Yeah.
And I'm not as good at these statistics, but I wow. I'm all about wow here, you know. It's
well, yeah, and what's really scary about all this is not just what's happening now, but because of what's happening now, we can make more dire projections more accurately.
Because when
we miss a big chunk of ice from a glacier, say, in either Antarctica or Greenland, what it leaves behind is the rock that it was sitting on, right?
Yeah.
And this rock is now exposed to the sun.
Oh.
So what happens is the sun warms up the rock, and that creates what they call an endothermic reaction.
Hmm.
So that spreads the heat underneath the remaining ice further upstream.
Oh, so it accelerates even further the
That's right.
melting.
Yeah, so now the melting is taking place not only from above, but also from below.
Oh,
yeah.
Just a joy.
Yeah.
I just can't believe that there's a floating mountain of ice out there, that island of ice that's, what'd you say, 5 times the size of Manhattan?
6 times the one in Antarctica, yeah.
That's insane.
Oh, I know, and the size of Singapore. That's another reference point for the Asian journalists.
Yeah. Oh, my, oh, my. And so does it seem, I mean, I guess some people would argue or ask, is this just part of a natural cycle or is man-induced climate change have a hand in this?
What I usually say first is that it doesn't matter now.
Yeah, right.
Like, who cares whose finger we're pointing at?
That's right.
But. Yes, nature does have some part to play in it, but it is primarily the result of man and his industrialized revolution and putting things into the atmosphere that shouldn't be there.
Our civilized way, of course, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it happened with the ozone hole. Remember when we had the big hole over the Antarctica and all our ozone gas was disappearing?
Right, right.
Well, back in the... In the 80s, I believe it was, in the late 80s, the United Nations said, we've identified the cause of this, and that's basically greenhouse gases? No, it was one in particular, fluorocarbons.
Right.
The kind of stuff that was in hairspray.
Hairspray, right. The yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so since they were able to identify it clearly and accurately, they called all the nations of the world together and said, okay, we have to have a universal ban on CFCs so that we don't, you know, create this problem and make it even worse. And so for the first time in history, all the nations of the world sign a unilateral agreement to ban a certain chemical substance.
That's amazing.
It's the first time it ever happened. It was known as the Montreal Protocol. It was signed in Montreal. And it's the only time every nation on Earth, without exception, signed an agreement on something.
Right.
And the scientists at the time predicted that it would take about 50 years before we would see a change in the ozone hole. But I was in Antarctica 25 years after the signing when the very first recorded measurement of the hole actually shrinking in size was made.
Yeah.
So we were 25 years ahead of schedule. So that's good.
Now, didn't we report in the last couple of weeks that, yay, that hole is closing, yay, but yep. Guess what? There's another one somewhere else?
Yeah, there's one in the Arctic.
Okay.
No, that's right. It's much smaller.
Okay.
Significantly smaller. And we're working on that too. But the important thing to take note is we did identify a problem that we caused, and we also came together to stop it.
Well, I love that. And yes, you know, I vaguely remember all this, and I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah, why don't we, like, you know, taking a page out of that playbook and doing it again?
Exactly. And that's the challenge. That's why I called the film The Antarctica Challenge, because there are so many contributing factors to what's causing the problems today. It's not just one thing like it was for the ozone hole. So it's very difficult for the legislators to get together and say, okay, we have to ban this and that and this and that.
And if
we do that, then climate change will stop.
It's
like a lot more complicated this time.
Yeah.
So the good news is the nations of the world have set aside the Framework Convention on Climate Change conference in Paris in 2015 as the place where they're going to come up with a universal binding agreement.
That is encouraging.
Yeah, it is. And so we're using the time between now and the Framework Convention this December in Lima, Peru, and all of next year to gather together the things we need to fix.
Right.
And by the time we get to Paris, we should have an agreement that the whole world can agree to. And we've been doing this for 19 years now, trying to come up with something. And I'm glad to see that we finally agreed that we're there enough to sign something in Paris next year.
That is really exciting, and it's very heartening to know that there are people like you that have been focused on this for a sustained period of time. To see it through a bit and who understand and are, you know, methodically gathering data, whether, you know, you're focused on one certain aspect perhaps and other folks are maybe, you know, working on agriculture systems or energy or whatever. This is great stuff. I'm really, really glad we finally got a chance to talk. Can you tell us, how can people find these films?
Well, they can find them on Amazon.com online.
Okay.
And also on PBS.
Excellent.
.org. Yeah. PBS will sell you the actual DVD with a lot of bonus features and, you know, fun little things with me in it and see me swimming with the penguins and all that.
Oh, I want to see that part.
Yeah.
I'm going to PBS.
Yeah. And the Amazon.com will, you can... I think you even have the choice of downloading the actual film to your computer and watching it that way, too.
Now, this is the Antarctica Challenge.
Yep.
And Polar Explorer, is that out yet?
Yes, the Polar Explorer is now out. It's
okay.
Available online.
Okay.
And it basically chronicles the very first documented journey across the Northwest Passage.
Oh, interesting.
So I was privileged enough to join the Canadian Coast Guard and make that historic trip.
You're such an adventurer.
Yeah, well, I'm very lucky. Very, very lucky.
That's marvelous. But you know, you're doing such great work. Now, how can people find out more about you?
Well, that's a good question. Google me. Right now, we have a new project. Because film has been found to be such an accessible medium for the international policymakers of the UN, they've given us an exclusive agreement to create a film every year
these
climate conferences. Yeah, it's great. So what we've done is created a new project known as the Youth Climate Report.
Oh, yes, and we spoke to John Kelly a few weeks ago.
Yes, that's right. Uh-huh. Yeah, so John and I are basically recruiting students, young people from around the world, to interview their local climate researchers and scientists to get the latest information from them to report on film at these conferences.
Fantastic project. And the site is really fun and filled with all kinds of really great little videos, nothing terribly long. But, you know, all of them are very different and impactful. There was a couple that were hilarious, too.
Yeah. Well, I think it's very important that we bring this information to the conferences, because a lot of the times the scientists can't make it themselves,
right,
or they're not eligible to attend,
right,
or have a voice at all.
Right.
And and this film gives them that voice.
Excellent. Well, I thank you so much for taking your adventurous spirit and doing such good work with it. And I'm hoping that we'll get to talk to you again. I will go get the film, and I will watch you play with the penguins along with the film, and then we'll talk
okay.
again.
Great. Thank you, Megan.
Thanks so much, Mark.
Okay, take care.
Hope you enjoyed that as much as they did. Please visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. For more fun podcasts and information on the Green Divas and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. You've been listening to the Green Divas radio show. Be sure to look for this and other Green Diva Network podcasts on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, Swell Radio, and Spreaker. Get social with the Green Divas on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Subscribe to the Green Divas YouTube channel to watch them in action. And for all the latest good green news, visit thegreendivas.com. That's THE greendivas.com.